Also, when the Buddha says he understands the eye, understands forms, understands the fetter that arises dependent on both, understanding how the comes to be the arising of the unarisen fetter, how the abandoning of the arisen fetter, that the fetter there is not, there's a word that is usually translated as fetter, the sangyojana, and that I don't think is the direct meaning in this case. Ten fetters are starting from Sakkaya Ditti through to Avijja. The first three fetters are relinquished by the stream enterer. The next two are weakened by the once returned to the next two of sense desire and aversion are relinquished by the non-returner, and then the last five are relinquished by the arahant. And those are fetters, but I don't think that's the general meaning in this sense. I think there's a better explanation of the in terms of fetter from this, and because that structure tends to be more commonly used in the commentarial literature. So if we go to the into the sutta structure, then there's probably a better explanation, or a bit clearer, simpler. I think sometimes the simpler explanation is sometimes the more useful or predominant. Probably Occam's razor is in this. Is a good application in this. So anyway, there's a sutta in, surprisingly enough, in the Salayatana Samyutta. So that's 35 of the Samyutta 35. This is Sutta 232. And it's another conversation between Sariputta and Mahakutita, and these are two friends who get together and have conversations from time to time, and many of them have been recorded. On one occasion, the Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Mahakutita were dwelling at Bharanasi in the deer park at Isipatana. Then in the evening, the Venerable Mahakutita emerged from seclusion and approached the Venerable Sariputta. He engaged greetings with the Venerable Sariputta, and when they had concluded their greetings and cordial talk, he sat down to one side and said to him, "How is it, friend Sariputta? Is the eye the fetter of forms, or are forms the fetter of the eye? Is the ear the fetter of sounds, or are the sounds, are sounds the fetter of the ear?" And of course, it goes through the six sense bases. "Is the mind the fetter of mental phenomena, or are mental phenomena the fetter of the mind?" "Friend Kotita, the eye is not the fetter of forms, nor are forms the fetter of the eye, but rather the desire and lust that arise there in dependence on both, that is the fetter there. The ear is not the fetter of sounds, nor are sounds the fetter of the ear, but rather the desire and lust that arise their independence on both, that is the fetter there." And through the sense bases, "The mind is not the fetter of mental phenomena, nor are mental phenomena the fetter of the mind, but rather the desire and lust that arise their independence on both, that is the fetter there. Suppose, friend, a black ox and a white ox were yoked together by a single harness or yoke. Would one be speaking rightly if one were to say, 'The black ox is the fetter of the white ox. The white ox is the fetter of the black ox'? No, friend. The black ox is not the fetter of the white ox, nor is the white ox the fetter of the black ox, but rather the single harness or yoke by which the two are yoked together. that is the fetter there. So too, friend, the eye is not the fetter of forms. Forms are not the fetter of the eye, so on, nor are mind the fetter of mental phenomena, or mental phenomena the fetter of mind, but rather the desire and lust that arise there, independence on both, that is the fetter there. If, friend, the eye were the fetter of forms, or if forms were the fetter of the eye, this living of the holy life could not be discerned for the complete destruction of suffering. But since the eye is not the fetter of forms, nor are the forms the fetter of the eye, but rather the desire and lust that arise there in dependence on both is the fetter there, the living of the holy life is discerned for the complete destruction of suffering. If, friend, the ear were the fetter of sounds, or if sounds were the fetter of the ear, if the mind were the fetter of mental phenomena, or if the mental phenomena were the fetter of mind, this living of the holy life could not be discerned for the complete destruction of suffering. But since the mind is not the fetter of mental phenomena, nor are mental phenomena the fetter of the mind, but rather the desire and lust that arise there in dependence on both is the fetter there, the living of the holy life is discerned for the complete destruction of suffering. In this way too, friend, it may be understood how that is so. There exists in the Blessed One the eye. The Blessed One sees a form with the eye, yet there is no desire and lust in the Blessed One. The Blessed One is well liberated in mind. There exists in the Blessed One the ear. The Blessed One hears a sound with the ear. So on. There exists in the Blessed One the nose. The Blessed One smells an odor with the nose. There exists in the Blessed One the tongue. The Blessed One savors a taste with the tongue. There exists in the Blessed One the body. The Blessed One feels a tactile object with the body. There exists in the Blessed One the mind. The Blessed One cognizes a mental phenomenon with the mind. Yet there is no desire and lust in the Blessed One. The Blessed One is well liberated in mind. In this way, friend, it can be understood how the eye is not the fetter of forms, nor forms the fetter of the eye, but rather the desire and lust that arise there in dependence on both is the fetter there. How the ear is not the fetter of sounds, nor sounds the fetter of the ear, and so on. Through the senses, how the mind is not the fetter of mental phenomena, nor mental phenomena the fetter of the mind, but rather the desire and lust that arise there in dependence on both is the fetter there. So that's the desire and lust, chandaraga. Yeah, so that is the actual, say the fetter that arises, and that sense of the if the eye were the fetter of forms, the forms were the fetter of the eye, in the sense that it came through the equipment, then we'd be scuppered. it would be. Was by virtue of fact of being born, then we'd be finished. That would be it. But because it's something that arises in the sense in dependence on that, it's an addition to that, that desire and lust that arises additionally to the perceiving and cognition of the senses, then we can work with that, we can deal with that, we can relinquish that, we can train the mind to be liberated. And that's really the, I think that's the theme that one takes through this whole section on the sense basis.